Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Shit Show with J-Bo. In this episode, I interview Eric Randall from Taco Cat. He talks about their latest record. It's called Lost Time. It's X-Files themed and fantastic. I suggest you go out and buy it right after you listen to this interview. Okay? Taco Cat. I saw them for the first time about 3, maybe 4 years ago in a small basement in the U District of Seattle. I was blown away by how short and sweet their songs were, the energy, how charming they were, their cover of the Friends theme song. I hate Friends. I've never seen an episode, but it was so cute. Taco Cat is the definition of punk rock to me. They consider themselves feminists. They've had a couple records chock full of anthems. I mean, they could already put out a greatest hits record. I'm a big fan, as you could tell. Eric was nice enough to come in, well, to answer my phone call and have it tape recorded for this podcast. So check it out. Go see Taco Cat. Tell him J-Bo sent you. And that's it. This is The Shit Show with J-Bo, interviewing Eric Randall from Taco Cat, talking about Lost Time on Hardly Art Records. Have a great day. We'll talk soon. Bye now.
Eric Randall. I play guitar on Taco Cat.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Do you still have a day job, Eric?
Sort of. Still technically, I think, employed at the Five Point. I haven't worked there in a few months. Probably going to go work a couple of shifts while I'm back in town.
Now, a couple years ago, I interviewed you, and I always said that, like, Taco Cat makes me feel a certain way, and when I feel a certain way about those bands, they tend to get really big. Now, Taco Cat's profile has definitely risen since then. How does that feel, man? I do feel like they're resonating right now. What changes do you see in people's reaction, and what do you attribute that to, man?
Definitely. I mean, in the last few months, it's been weird because we've been really busy for the last year. Probably about a year ago, we really hunkered down and started working on our new album.
Lost Time, which is an amazing record. I love it.
Oh, thank you. We'd like spent all of last summer really like writing it and then recorded it with Eric Blood in September. And then after we finished the album, there's like all this like stuff you got to do, like artwork and music videos and things like that. And I don't know, it's been like a really long, crazy year. It's weird. It's very like surreal as we like get, I don't know, more popular, I guess.
Sorry. Go on, bro.
We just played Sasquatch this weekend.
How was that?
Which was kind of like, it was a nice way because we've been on the road for like 2 months straight, like a month in the U.S. and a month in Europe. And I did notice that like our shows are just continuing to get a little bit bigger and a little better. I don't know. It's weird because we have not like had any sort of moment where I feel like our popularity is like really like exploded. It's more been like a very steady climb like over the years, which I don't know, it kind of feels like better. And you see a lot of like buzz bands, sort of like that turned out to be maybe more like a flash in the pan where you get really popular and then
all of a sudden
you're like some of the things change. Like for us, we've been on the road like a lot more. We've been super busy. I don't think you're doing a lot more like press stuff and a lot more, just a lot more things that aren't necessarily why you got into music, I guess.
Right. And why do you think? Oh, sorry. Go ahead, bro. Sorry.
No. You can go ahead.
I was gonna say, why do you think Taco Cat is resonating? They always have with me. The first time I saw you cats in the basement of some house in the U District. Very short songs, very great songs, just concise. Why do you think it's resonating? I mean, I feel like the messages are super clear. The lyrics are super intelligent. How do you describe what's happening and why? Why are people loving your bands?
Well, I think we're like pretty like true to ourselves. And we try to like be positive. I don't know. But it's just like there's a lot of I don't know, I guess like sad music out there and not tons of like more positive, especially I don't know, like you know, we have like a feminist slant to all of our music. Just because that's like who we are.
Part of the zeitgeist, kind of. I mean, all that stuff's really happening right now, right? Those kind of thoughts, kind of emerging.
Yeah. I think that we've felt that way for a while, and now it's starting to get more, like mainstream, I guess. Like with shows like Broad City and Girls and stuff like that. Like, just that the ideas that we have are catching up with mainstream culture or something.
I got to see you in Philadelphia a couple, I don't know, maybe a month ago, a month and a half ago, whenever it was. Really cool show. You guys didn't play that long because it's kind of curfew. But, you know, you're getting popular. I know you're playing big festivals like Sasquatch and South by Southwest and whatnot with decent sound systems. The sound system that night wasn't that great. Now, do you have a preference? I mean, obviously, like there's two parts of it. You know, the big, huge stages with the really nice sound system, I'm sure they feel nice and perfect, but then there's getting down with the folks in the grungy, punk, dingy clubs. Does it matter to you where you play as long as you're playing?
Yeah, there's definitely a difference. Like, sometimes, I don't know, it's like, sometimes it does feel better to, like, play, like, an older, like, a more old-school feeling show where it's, like, yeah, the sound might not be perfect, but, like, everyone's right there in the front, like that show in Philadelphia, you know, there's no stage, you're just, like, right down with the people, that's always really great, but, I don't know, when we just played at Sasquatch, we were supposed to play the main stage, but we got bumped from because of like wind delays. The wind actually like knocked my guitar over and broke my guitar.
Are you serious?
The headstock just like got smashed and completely broken.
Oh my god!
Which was pretty harsh. But no, but like when we ended up playing. It's the stage where we saw Yell play, the like French pop artist.
Oh, okay.
A few years ago, which was actually like a really like special moment. Like, I don't know, that show was amazing and like I guess I prefer personally, it's always more fun for me when there's like more people, like the more people there are in the crowd, like the bigger the crowd, like the more of like a rush I get.
And that's what it's about. Okay, I feel you. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. It's like that feeling of playing in front of, like, that many people is always really exciting to me. And I think, I guess that's, like, to me, at this point, after playing for so long in front of people, yeah, I'm like, I'm ready to play in front of more and more people because it's just, yeah, it's a lot more exciting.
Radical, man. I'll tell me a little bit about your new record, Lost Time. Lost Time, it's an X-Files reference. Do you actually know what the reference deals with? Because I don't. I was curious.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Lost Time, like, they're driving. The first time I think they mention it, they're, like, driving somewhere to investigate a UFO, and they see a bright light, and then they, like, pull over, and Mulder looks at the clock in the car, and it's, like, 10 mm-hmm. minutes later than when they stopped or when they first saw the light. And so that's, like, a phenomenon of, like, when you see a UFO, and then all of a sudden all this time is missing.
I see. Do you believe in UFOs, Eric?
I don't know. I think, well, kind of. I did one time when a couple of friends of mine and I were driving to Los Angeles. We were driving through Central California, like, pretty late at night, and we saw some really weird, like, well, we saw UFOs, like,
right.
making
right.
crazy movements. We actually stopped and recorded it for a while on my friend's, like, camcorder. And I couldn't explain what it was, to be honest with you. They were making moves that I couldn't explain. So I guess I do.
You know, once when I was a kid, I went out with my father specifically to hunt for UFOs, and I happened to see one. I don't know if it was the power of suggestion. It was like a green fireball going, like, on a St. Augustine beach in Florida, like, early in the morning, just a green fireball going from left the whole way across the sky. Saw it out of the corner of my eye and talked to my dad. He claims to have seen it, too. I don't know if it was the power of suggestion or whatever. I would love to believe that there's other life, but no real proof on my end, you know?
Right, yeah. Yeah, I guess that's kind of how I feel.
How did Eric Blood... Did you feel like he changed or added to the Taco Cat sound with the latest record? I noticed some really cool effects, like certain delays, like on the song Talk, which I love. It's just really hypnotic. Was that something he brought in, particularly like that song? Did you just have a riff and somebody was like, oh, let's put some delay, or was that you?
Yeah, no, that was all him. Yeah, we like – it's funny because that song I was like – well, we basically, like I said, we wrote all of that stuff, like, pretty fast, like, leading up to a recording date that we had booked. And so we kind of came in with, like, a pile of music and not a lot of specific ideas, like, per song for production. And so basically, yeah, everything production-wise was like his call. We kind of like gave him power on that, like, production of production, and then, like, we'll just do what you say and see how it turns out and go from there. And he's got a great ear. He really like that song. I was not even really that, like, psyched on that song until I heard it the first time, and it was like, oh wow, the song was, you know, I kind of had ideas about what songs might be singles, and that was not necessarily, that was not one of them.
Oh,
until
wow.
I heard it. Yeah, but it also, like, Emily's vocal performance on that song
is great.
Is very strong, I feel like.
I feel like she gets weird, with her vocals. That's been very interesting, and I know Sean Nelson wrote an article about it, but I agree. There's this, like, snaky characteristic at the end. It's very interesting the way she approaches that. She does, like, every time she repeats, she does something totally different. It's very impressive. I don't know. I liked it.
But yeah, no, he definitely, as far as I'm concerned, like equal credit on the album as far as how it turned out. Like, his ideas brought a lot to the table.
Now, did you ever feel like when you were making it, challenged, like, oh man, like how am I going to do this live? Like, or was it a relatively easy transition? Because I heard you in Philly, and for the most part, it was pretty darn faithful to the recording. You know?
Yeah, no, that's the thing. It's all like pretty like subtle things, and in fact, I feel like he actually kind of stripped down our sound with like less backup vocals, less harmonies. We tend to go a little crazy on like adding stuff like that, overdubs and just doing tons of backup vocals and hand clap kind of stuff. And he had very specific ideas. Like, I didn't do any backup vocals on the album, which, like, I do on the album, like, live, but I remember thinking, like, oh, wait, actually, that's a really good idea, because Emily's got a way better voice than me, so, like, why wouldn't she be doing the backup stuff on the recording?
But she'll do some of it live, right, like on Talk in particular.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I do some of the delayed vocals as backups.
Another song I wanted to comment on was called Leisure Bees, and it's the ending track. And very, very interesting. I kind of felt like you guys were going into like slightly different territory. I'd never heard Taco Cat do a song like that. Something with the guitar work, the harmony, this and that. Did that song stick out to you?
Yeah, I love that song, and it's actually like the music to that was actually like two different songs that we were like kind of working on for a long time, and I was like really so that whole process, I was like, we were coming up with riffs and things like that and working out these songs, and I was like very focused on like editing the songs the way I like the music, the way I wanted it. And I just remember we were like working on these two songs forever, and I was just not quite happy, and then I sort of combined these two songs into one song. With all these riffs that I've been working on, and then I was really happy with like the music on that. And then Emily's lyrics on that song, I love. Like, I just feel like that song really like embodies like how we feel. And there's just a lot of like in music, there's a lot of like ego involved with musicians and things like that. Like, when we were in Europe, our tour manages like a lot of bigger bands and metal bands and stuff like that, and he was telling us all of these like stories of them being babies, and I don't know, I guess we're not really like that. We're more like, we're pretty like blue collar DIY band, and we don't, like, I don't know, I don't feel like we have like big egos. Like, we just love to play music, and like,
is that kind of what the song's about?
Yeah, kind of. It's just about like doing what you want to do, doing what you think is right, I guess.
It's fun that we be talking about this, because I was just listening to it and listened to the lyrics very closely for the first time. And I did think they were very interesting. A lot of Taco Cat's music has kind of a slightly more straightforward message, you know, slightly simpler, and it kind of just drills it into your head. This one's a little more subtlety to it.
But. Yeah. I like that too, yeah. And I just think that we're constantly, like, trying to grow musically and like lyrically. And also I feel like Emily's lyrics on this album were like a huge leap forward. She spent time as the music editor at The Stranger, and just like, I think she just became a better overall writer. And like,
oh yeah. And confident. Like, really confident. Like,
yeah. Yeah. So I just, that was the other thing, is when we got into the studio, I still didn't really know what most of the lyrics were and what all the vocals were going to be like. So like, it was a really pleasant surprise to like start hearing it back and like hear just how good they were. I don't know.
I agree. That's definitely one of Taco Cat's strong suits, man, is the lyrics. I feel like Taco Cat is like is euphoria inducing. Like, you listen to him and it's kind of, you just can't help but kind of get into it. And I put a lot of that on the cymbal work of Lila Maupin, man. I'm constantly blown away. It's like the way her drums hype up those songs. You know, I heard somebody say that the reason why the Beatles were so great was because of Ringo's cymbals. They just electrified the song. I feel like Lila does that, man.
Oh, yeah. Well, Lila is like, first of all, she's just like a brilliant artist in general.
Right.
And she is really, she's great at like not overthinking anything. Like, and yeah, she's like, just like, goes from her gut, I guess. Next, I don't think she's like thinking too hard, like, but when she like feels something is right, she is like super confident in it, I guess.
Yeah.
And so, which is like very inspiring to me. She like just always going on stage, like when we play at Sasquatch with a huge crowd. Anytime we play in front of a huge crowd, you still get butterflies a little bit. And always when we go on stage, I like to look back. I always look back at Lila right before we start, and she's always like, she thrives in those situations.
Yeah.
And like, she doesn't seem nervous at all, and it always makes me feel more comfortable. But she's just like naturally, I don't know, brilliant when it comes to music and art. She knows what's good right when she sees it or hears it.
Yeah. Hell yeah. I love the camaraderie in the band. I was just watching this like South by Southwest, and it was really good. It was really good cramming for this interview, talking with you, watching you guys over there. You did practically the whole new record. And at one point during Horse Girls, which, by the way, is a very original topic for a song. I can't imagine. I don't think that's ever been written about before, honestly. She drops the drumsticks, you know? And like, I don't know, a lot of bands who maybe take, or she dropped a drumstick or something. A lot of bands who might take themselves a little more seriously might get like, what the fuck, you know? But you guys look back and it was just like a funny-ass thing. It really illustrated how friendly and fun that band actually is. And I think that really comes across, you know, to the audience.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we don't. So, you know, sometimes you're going to drop a drumstick. It's like how you handle those situations. Like, I hate watching bands, like, get mad at each other and fight on stage. Like, that is something that we, none of us are into. Like, for instance, like, when I worked at the Rendezvous doing sound, and I'd see a lot of bands that would show up and play to like 5 or 6 people and have a big attitude about it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's basically band practice. You know, and it always drove me nuts. I'm like, oh, you just made like the 5 people that did show up to your show like feel uncomfortable. Like, don't make the crowd feel uncomfortable.
Like, I played many of those shows.
Yeah. Oh, so have we. And we still had, like, even when we were in Europe, we played a couple of, like, yeah, we go from playing like to 200 people in London to playing to 12 people in like weird town in Switzerland, and it's like, yeah, there's just two ways to handle that. You can be a baby about it, or you can like have fun and play a good show and make those people go tell their friends they really fucked up by not going to your show that time.
Right. I mean, even to be able to play in a band, let alone like Europe, is such an awesome thing to be able to do. Like, it's a real first world issue to not have enough people show up to your show. You
know? Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I feel like we like handle that stuff pretty well because, you know, we know what it's like to to be in a crowd like that. I don't know. It just always sucks when bands are shitty on stage.
Do you have a hand in any of the lyric writing process at all? I'm guessing no, but maybe. Is there that off time that you actually do it sometimes?
I don't have like a lot. Actually, Leisure Bees is something that like it's like a concept that Lila came up, like she just said it one time. We're not worker bees, we're leisure bees. And I was very adamant about making that song.
Oh, cool.
About that concept, but I didn't really write any. Lyrics are not really my strong suit. I'm trying to get more into that right now. I would like to have a little bit more, just for my own personal, I've always avoided it because it's always been my least favorite part of writing a song because I'm not great with words.
Now, on Taco Cat, you're talking about you would like to write more lyrics or just in, like, the trashies of your other bands?
Well, I guess I do write lyrics in the trashies, but that's, like, a different, that's, like, a completely different vibe of band. I guess with Taco Cat, I'm more focused on music and I like to let Emily and Bree and Leela kind of do more of the lyrics, which I, like in reality, Emily does most of it and she's the one that has to stand up there and sing it. So I don't want her to have to like sing my lyrics that she doesn't care about or believe in.
Right.
It's like I wouldn't want her to tell me what to play on guitar.
Right. Has she ever suggested you play something on guitar?
No.
So I get a sense of things that Brie in the project and Taco Cat, I don't know if she writes a lot of the lyrics, but I kind of feel like she pushes the band in certain directions as far as like politically and ideally. Is that accurate? Am I reading that correctly?
Yeah, definitely. She comes up with a lot of great ideas. About like song topic ideas that I think her and Emily usually explore together. And definitely, yeah, I would say Brie and Emily are a lot more like adept at that sort of thing and are bringing more of the ideology to the band, which are things that Leela and I agree with.
Yeah.
But aren't as like good at. We're more like focused on the music, I guess, and you know that's the kind of the beauty is that we all like are into the same things, but have different strong suits as far as actually making it happen.
I've always loved that, and I have referred to Taco Cat as a great band, like among some of my favorites, not only the music, but just kind of how it does seem very much like a unit. There's four people, and it's like four distinct personalities. I don't know. I like that. I see certain bands, and I'm like, oh, that's great. And they're clearly like it's a perfect little thing. They very much complement each other. The question being, if anybody ever left the group, would it go on? Could you? I mean, I know I'm not asking like, could you replace anybody? But if somebody left, do you think the other three would attempt to go on, or is Taco Cat like a four piece and that's it? Like, what do you think?
Oh yeah, I don't think we would ever like try to go on without anyone. I think it would just be done, and maybe some of us would start another band or something, but yeah. No, I don't think... Yeah, everyone is too important. Everyone brings, like, a very equal, like... Everyone is pretty equal in the band as far as what they bring to the table and how our sound and everything is shaped. So I really don't think it would be possible.
So let me ask him, what if a major label approached you tomorrow, would you take that big leap, man? Or have they approached you? I feel like Taco Cat is right on the precipice, or whatever you want to call it, of like one more record. I honestly feel like it could be that in that scenario. Is that something you're interested in? Would you go for it if it came down to it?
You know, it would have to. That's the thing. We'd like to get our message out to as many people as possible. I feel like we have, like, important things to say, and that I would not necessarily say no to. It would just have to be the right,
sure,
like, deal, I guess, you know? Like, if we felt like they actually... Basically, what we want is to, like, sign with someone who believes in us and what we're doing. Like, and on maybe the biggest, like, level possible.
Yeah,
so, I mean, we're definitely looking up, and I wouldn't rule it out, but it would have to be, we wouldn't want to get stuck in a, like, weird contract situation.
Right.
I mean, we've known bands that have done that, have, like, made the leap, but most of them haven't been around for as long as we have, I guess. They kind of are one of those buzz bands that get really popular off of, like, a 7-inch or one album, and then try to move up, and then get stuck in major label limbo.
I feel like Taco Cat could practically, at this point, even put out almost like the greatest hits. You guys at least have so many, like, singles that stick out to me. It's fucking pretty cool, man. You guys write singles like motherfuckers, you know? Pardon my French, but they're awesome. And when you're doing a record, I know I'm gonna guess that when you wrote "I Hate the Weeknd," you probably guessed, "Oh, that's a bigger one. That's going to be a single." Now, do you ever wish that you had more time? You know, you think about a band like Nirvana, where "Nevermind" seems to be kind of all singles, for instance. Are there any songs like deep cuts that, like, if you waited long enough, would you want to write a record completely comprised of these, like, hit songs, or do the deeper cuts that don't jump out at people, do they have specific meaning to the record and you're super happy with that? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. This album came together more like an album than I think we have ever made in the past. Like, I guess we're a lot more like singular song focused, at least
okay. In
writing. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, personally, I would love to have, like, yeah, more time to, like, write, like, 20 songs.
Right.
Like, really kind of flush them out to their potential and do, like, yeah, 12 songs that I thought were, like, all could be singles. I mean...
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, but, because I don't know, it's weird because it seems like the days of, like, writing albums... as albums is, like, going away.
It does kind of seem like that.
And, like, yeah, and it just seems like a lot of our deeper cut, like, even Talk, I don't know, I thought that was a really strong song and could be a good single, but it got released and announced the same day as the Powerpuff Girls thing, and it got completely overshadowed by that.
That was fucking awesome, dude. I heard that, and the production on that was out of this world, man. How was that different? I mean, that was more production than even Eric Blood lent, correct?
Yeah, we spent like day and a half or something in a studio just recording that. And it was a guy from LA who like wrote that song.
Oh, and somebody else wrote it. Okay.
Yeah. And then we did submit a song when they first asked us to do it, and they asked us to write a song, and we did, and we turned it in. I thought it was great, but they, after a lot of back and forth, yeah, they went with this other song, which is, like, fine. And we went into the studio, and he, like, handed us sheet music, and we're like, I don't think so. And it took us a while to kind of like get down exactly how they wanted us to play it.
That's awesome. But, go ahead.
Yeah, there's a lot of studio magic going on in that recording, I'd say.
There would have to be. It sounds really superb. I heard The Real World is coming back to Seattle for a second time. do you think Taco Cat? I'm sorry, but I see Taco Cat at some point playing on that show. Do you feel like that's going to happen?
I don't know. Well, nobody's approached us yet, but it's funny because, yeah, we all, I feel like, especially Leela and I grew up watching a lot of MTV.
Yeah. Down in Longview, Washington, right?
Yeah, exactly. And, like, Bree and Emily, like, both didn't really have TV or cable like Leela and I did. So the first Seattle Real World season really, I feel like, made a deep impression on Leela and I. But
Who was in that one, man? Who was in the first one?
I don't even remember, to be honest with you.
But you remember it making a deep impression. Yeah, I feel you.
Yeah. Just like, well, that was just like when Seattle was blowing up as like the grunge mecca or whatever.
Yeah.
And, but I don't know. I would be involved. But it's funny because I've been watching or just saw this news kind of come down on Facebook or wherever. Everyone's really taking a stand against it.
Oh, The Real World.
Yeah, The Real World coming back to Seattle.
Actually, the restaurant you work in just banned them,
yeah.
Right? They're not allowed in.
I just saw that. Like, cool. Yeah, I don't know. It seems like it's just trying to make a story there. I don't know.
They also banned Google Glass back in the day.
Yeah, right, yeah. And I remember working the day when like some article came out about how they wouldn't allow Google Glass, and like all of a sudden I'm like answering like nonstop phone calls of people trying to get an interview about it, and I'm like, dude, I'm just trying to fucking bust a table, dude. Leave me alone.
Man, that's a good job you got there. Dude, you run that place, man.
What's that?
I said, that's a good job you have there. I used to work with you. You run that place, dude.
Yeah, well, it's great. I love all the people that work there, and I love the managers there, and they've been pretty great to me. And they've let me, like I said, I still am an employee there, but I haven't worked there in months. They kind of let me come and work when I need to and leave when I need to. Everyone there has been super supportive.
Is Taco Cat making money to call it a job at this point? I mean, you know, we don't have to include this in the interview if you don't want, but I mean, are you able to get away with not working all the time now? Like, you've been touring a lot and all that?
I still do, like, odd jobs, like recording to make money. But basically, you know, as poor as I was when I was working there full time, I guess I make, you know, from the band, we pay ourselves enough to like pay our rent and eat a little bit. And I have to, anything beyond that, I'm I have to hustle to try to make some money.
Who have you recorded lately, man?
Well, I just did I did the Lisa Prank album.
You recorded that record?
Yeah.
Dude, that's awesome. I interviewed her a couple, like, I don't know, a month ago about that record, man. Good job, dude. Good fucking job.
Oh, nice. Yeah. We did that, like, all here at the Spruce House, where we both live, just,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Over, it probably took about, like, 6 months.
Oh, wow.
Like, she wrote a couple songs that are on there, like, as we were recording. We just kind of, like, took our time with it a little bit, and then I also had, like a month where my computer like exploded and my Pro Tools was gone basically, and I had to get a new computer and a new version of Pro Tools and all this stuff to get back up to finish it. But I'm really happy with how it turned out. Working on the band from Seattle called Dead Bars.
Oh, okay.
Which is like a more like pop punk. They're on No Idea Records, which is like who does like the Fest down in Florida.
You cut your teeth on pop punk. Is that an accurate statement now? I mean, you love that shit. You came from Longview. I mean, what was your musical choices? I mean, you watched a lot of TV, obviously. What were you listening to growing up, man?
Well, I listened to like just pop music and MTV stuff until I was about like 15 or 16, and then I remember hearing a friend of mine played me like the Murder City Devils.
Yeah, Modest Mouse.
Who were from Seattle, yeah, and it like kind of blew my mind. That's when I really got into like to more like underground music and punk music, and then I got really into like the Ramones. But actually, there was a band from Longview called the Wannabes.
Yeah.
And a bunch of my friends from school were in a ska band, and I went to watch them play like a battle of the bands, and the Wannabes played last, and they just, I remember it like totally blew my mind, and I was like, man, I could do that. Like,
that was,
you know,
the
like
moment.
Listening to
that,
the
was,
remote.
That was your,
yeah,
moment.
That was,
that's amazing.
That was totally the moment. I told the drummer of the ska band I was there to see. I was like, dude, if I learn how to play guitar, will you start a band with me? He was like, yeah. Yeah, I will. And so, because I think he just didn't think I would. But then I did learn to play guitar, and then he did start a band. That was my first ever band. That was how it all started. My dad actually told me. My dad bought me the guitar. I asked him to buy me a guitar, and then probably like 5 years ago or something, after I'd been, you know, 10 years deep into playing guitar and playing in bands and touring and stuff, told me, like, you know, when I bought you that guitar, I was 100% sure you were never going to learn how to play it. Like, oh, thanks, Dad.
What was the name of your first band there?
Oh, man, I don't want to say. It's embarrassing.
Okay. So now, did you know Leela at the time?
I met Leela. I think maybe that band had already started when I met Leela.
Okay.
We had been playing, like, we were probably in our first, like, year. Actually, yeah, and then a bunch of I ended up writing some songs about Leela, the band, which is also, like, super embarrassing. They were kind of, like, mean.
Now, dude, what if you would have saw? What if they would have pulled some Lost Time, some UFO fucking time machine shit, and showed you a glimpse of you, at that point in time, dude? If you in London, turn around. There's Leela with, you know, super blonde hair. You got, you know, two other chicks in the band. Like, oh my God, would that have just destroyed your mind, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't think I. It's weird because I never really thought about where it was going or anything. It's just like what I wanted to do. And I never really thought that I would make money from being in a band, or like that I would, I don't know. It's weird. I never really thought about it that much. I was just doing it because that's what I wanted to do.
Well, that's it, man. You do it because you love it, man. You never work a day in your life doing that. Dude, that's
yeah.
Fuck yeah. Well, listen, man, I'm up against a little bit of a hard out here. I got to go get some dinner before I go to work. Eric, this has been awesome, dude. Where are we at? About 35, 40 minutes at this point?
Something like that. Yeah.
One more thing. Do you have any plans for a future record at this point? Anything written?
We haven't written anything. We've been so busy, but I'm about to start working on the beginnings. I think we're going to try to do what we can before the end of the year. We have a lot of touring coming up.
Yeah.
But I think we're going to probably, right after the first of the year, like, hunker down and start really working on a new album. But yeah, we want to keep it going. We don't want to, like, we don't want to lose any more time, as it were.
Well, I think you need to start now, so that album is completely filled with hits, my man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's the plan. I'd like to get, like, 8 to 10 songs done, like, written by the first of the year, and then, or like, you know, at least beginnings of songs.
Awesome. And also, congratulations on your body of work regarding your videos. I think Taco Cat videos are phenomenal. They really bring across the spirit of the band. And the last time I talked with you on my show in Seattle, you hadn't made a video yet. And I remember thinking, well, what the fuck, dude? What happened?
Yeah.
And you had this look on like, I don't fucking know, dude. I wish I had, you know. But now you have a ton, and they're all super cool. I think that's also a huge reason for your popularity. They're really great.
Oh, yeah, thanks. Yeah, I think that we would like to, like, yeah, we made more for this album. I think we still have another one that's potentially going to come out.
Which one?
I think The Internet.
Oh, The Internet. Cool. All right.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that we've sort of realized that that's like a more important thing than we had given it credit. And you can expect more videos in the future. I would like to, in the future, have several made before, like, between recording an album and releasing it. I'm hoping that we'll be able to, like, roll out a lot of videos.
Yeah, hell yeah.
All right.
All right, buddy. Well, that sounds good, man. I want to thank you so much for your time, dude.
Oh, yeah, no, thanks. It's always a pleasure talking to you, man.
Yeah, definitely. And I hope to see you and Taco Cat just really soon, man. I don't know when, but hell yeah. Just let me know if you're coming close to Pittsburgh, man.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll be out there in, I believe, early fall.
Oh, yeah?
October, or late September, early October. So I'll let you know.
Perfect, man. Perfect. All right, bro. Hey, have a great day, all right?
All right, man. Take it easy.
See you, man. Everybody, that was Eric Randall. He was on the shit show with J-Bo. Wasn't that great? All right. We'll see you later.
Later.